sight of what's really important in the project.
Yeah, and so you got people now who are there responsible and accountable to put information in the system. But that's a far cry different from holding somebody responsible for the answer. He held them responsible for the answer. And he wanted to know who knew what. Now, at the end of the day, with all the computer programs, speculation, but I doubt if he would, change.
Mm-hmm.
He might have better information, but which reminds me of something. In all of the archives over here at UAA, did you find the weekly notes?
Not at the archives. They're at the Marshall History Office.
They are?
Yes, Marshall Center History Office. Yes, they are.
Now, if you want some interesting stuff, in the time period that we're talking about here, from 63 on through the flight, you go through those and look at the F-1 engine notes, you'll get a real good, it's tedious, because they're put out weekly, so you'll find, and we probably need to put one in every week. Can anybody describe the other system work?
I've read of it, in general sense, and he would do this weekly. He had Monday morning meetings, right? Was it Monday?
Well, yeah, they had a weekly staff meeting, but every Thursday, we had to turn in weekly notes.
Oh.
And those notes had to be completely honest. One of the biggest errors you could make is not telling something. Uh-huh. He wanted, like the old Sergeant Friday, uh-huh, nothing but the facts.
Yes.
Don't
skirt the issue. Better tell me what the deal is, because if you don't...
And some people say, well, I don't like to put something in without a solution. Well, you better not delay very long. It's all right to send him how you're going to solve it, but don't delay very long. But these all have to be this long. Now, there had to be an inch and a quarter margin left on them. They went in every Friday to his office. And sometimes during the following week, you got them back annotated by him. It would say, if he picked up something in one of his travels or he heard a different story and they came, it was his check and balance. They came out of the project office, which should reflect the contract. And they came out of his lab, which was his independent technical authority. Mm-hmm. And if those two came up to him and there was any difference in them, then you got, both parties got a note back asking a question. Those questions had to be answered. Typically, they got back on them in the middle of the week. They had to be answered within a week.
Mm-hmm.
They were kept on file. And if they were filed, the response he made and people who were due to answer a question on there, those were tracked by his staff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't answer, you had to answer why you didn't answer.
Okay.
And it's just a beautiful, simple system. It's not complicated. Extremely effective. Now, he also believed a lot of oral. If there's anything that happened that he needed to know of, you need to pass word to him. But his fundamental thing for keeping track of all this, and those notes at the height of the program are this thick. So if you get a chance, even just go over and thumb through some of them in 64, 65, 66, back earlier, they're all by organization. And it was one grouping out of industrial operations, which became program management. Industrial operations was called start with, and then there was another group that came out of the laboratory. Now, some of the stuff from the contractor also came to their counterparts. We call them counterparts.
Okay.
At Marshall, contractors' counterparts. Mm-hmm. Their turbo pump guy. This guy, a technical guy, was supposed to filter it technically and see whether they agreed or concurred or not to check the balance system.
Yes.
So he had, his check and balance system, but that would give you a bird's eye view of the actual weekly instances. I know whether you find it in the notes or not, but I remember at some point, and I'd be surprised if it's not a weekly note, we would say we have passed 100 bomb tests with no instabilities. I remember, we were tracking, we got how many tests we got now with instability, and I we probably would have pulled it along. We've got, now we've got 30, now we've got 40.
Uh-huh.
And, but we were tracking that and reporting it. So,
and that was a milestone in the program.
It was a technical metric or whatever you want to call it, but it was, we were keeping track of it because the longer the engine was unstable, you didn't have a flyaway engine. So it had to surpass the bombs test. And if we had any, you should find in those notes, premature cutoffs, so on. Mm-hmm. So they're in the Marshal History Office.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Well, you may not want to...
I looked at them, I said, it would take me forever to go through these page by page. I glanced at some, but it was like trying to find a needle in a haystack. How could I find notes to...
Well, it's not that difficult.
I can contact Mike Wright and see if he can do some work for me in finding the notes.
Yeah. Is he in the Marshal History
Office? Yes, he is. Mike Wright.
Yeah, so what you would find, I believe, is if you go into them, they're divided into industrial operations and the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And so the notes that would come, would be pretty easy to find because you just flip in and you saw the engine office and then flip the page and there would be the...
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then you go to the propulsion laboratory.
Okay.
And you flip through that about like this and you see if they report anything on the F1 that week.
Okay.
So it shouldn't, somebody can do it, it shouldn't take too long because of the way they're organized.
Okay, great. All right.
If you try to read them all, fine, but they're not structured pretty well. You probably find the activation of the test fans. You find mm-hmm. a lot of tidbits in there.
I do have the Apollo chronology,
mm-hmm.
Like from the late 50s all the way through the program. And I've got like two thick binders that go day by day, week by week, through the whole thing. Milestone events are in there. That helps me to track.
Well, notice here is where test stand you were asking.
I'd like, could I borrow these?
C and D, see there?
Yeah, uh-huh.
C and D there, so
yeah.
We had A.
B, C, and D.
B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And we had B1 and B2.
That's right. So those were dual position.
The B stand was a dual position.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that C and D were production.
I believe you're right on that.
And you can see where they came on here when we were originally ramping up on the production. I won't rattle on here. I probably will think of something after you leave once.
I will, sometime in the next day or so, I'll swing by and drop off my card because I'm just 5 minutes from here.
Yeah, see here was the 2222.
Mm-hmm.
Notice we were talking about producing 22 in 1967. About 20, 30 engines or something. 2, mm-hmm. 4, 6, 8, 10, 12.
Two engines per month, basically?
Two engines per month and ramping up to three per month.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks like there's 3.5 here in that one. 5 is 15 and 12 is 27 engines. That's when they were going to go to the moon a lot more than they said it would. Remember, mm-hmm. the engine's the longest lead time, so if you don't, you got to make a guess at early on it. They wouldn't land on the moon from here.
Okay.
And then that got ramped down in 67. That was the renegotiation, and then we kept the 76 engine program. And then the question of what the run out was going to be. We kept 76 as the basic. I guess that's what was required to support the 5. Divide 5 into this, you get what, 12 flights?
Mm-hmm.
Plus spare. Mm-hmm. 5 into 72 is 1. 12 is,
Well, that'd be 60. At least 60, 12 flights at 5 each is 60 engines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And plus your spares.
Yeah.
Okay.
You may not. So anyway, that's the, so that we were talking about, so they finally flew 501 through 517, didn't they?
Yes, 517, that's right.
Yeah, 517 was the last one, so 79, 535, 105.
And 517 was Skylab.
Mm-hmm. That's 105 engines, and we had some spares. I think we finally produced 120-something engines, but not sure. It would be more like this one here, see where we built it. The 76 we held on to because that was a basic contract. Mm-hmm. The question is, what do we do after that? So that would say that about the time we landed on the moon, we were looking at 98 engines. I think we finally produced about that number, around 100 engines.
Okay.
Do you want some of this, you think?
Yes, the charge for sure. These, the printed forms. This is, let me glance at this one. Okay, that's great.
And you want these actual plots?
There are some of those in here already in black and white. I can probably use those. I'll look at those, and if I need originals, I'll let you know. But these are, I'll see what would apply for what I'm trying to do without getting too detailed.
May not be useful.
Well, thank you for talking with me today.
That's my pleasure. All right.
I've got about another year to finish deliver the manuscript with a photo package.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets reviewed, and it goes back and forth. And the scary part is the production part, where they produce the thing. I'm very big on having the photos look just the right size, orientation, all that. So just after I deliver it, it's not over. I've got to make sure they do it right, and they did a good job on the rover book.
There's so, not many Indian pictures in it. But I've got somewhere here a CD I can give you, which is just a collection of pictures I gave to the old alumni not too long ago. And you can have that CD.
Really? I'll just copy it and return it.
You don't have to.
Okay. If you can find it, that'd be great.
It'll take me just a minute.
Sure. I'd very much like to see it.
To think about it.
Okay.
Some of the pictures are not too good, but you will see that famous picture of the... There's a lot of S1C assembly pictures in it that are not normal.
Okay.
It shows some of the pieces without the engines in the back. Oh,
that's great.
And things like
mm-hmm.
that.
That'd be great.
This is my office.
Mm-hmm.